Your speaker in this lesson is Larry Acuff.
Turn your Bibles to the book of Colossians, chapter number 3. We're going to be looking at verses 12, 13, and 14 in the, Colossians number 1, verses 12, 13, and 14. The church at Colossae, as a matter of fact, we have the letter that was written to the Colossians. I believe a part of the theme of the book of Colossians is found in Colossians chapter number 3. When Paul writes to them, "Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of the throne of God, set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead. Your life is hid with God in Christ." And so when you and I look at that, I think probably if there was a theme of the book of Colossians, that perhaps maybe would be the theme. Maybe that would be the central verses of this great book of the New Testament. As a matter of fact, it's kind of interesting because there was a letter written to the church at Laodicea. If you'll remember in Revelation chapter number 3, God, through inspiration, said, "I would thou were hot or cold, but because thou art lukewarm, I'll spew thee out of my mouth." He was saying that about the church at Laodicea. And so he had said to these folks at Colossae, "You be sure and read the letter that was written to the church at Laodicea." But when you look at the first chapter of the book of Colossians, down at about verse number 9, Paul talks about a prayer that he is praying for them. Number one, that they would have knowledge and wisdom. One of the things that Paul encouraged them, he said that you will have knowledge and wisdom. The Bible tells us in the book of 2 Peter 3 and verse number 18, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, you know, it is possible for an individual to have knowledge and not have wisdom. How many times have you seen folks do things and then you'd say, "Why did they do that? They ought to know better than that. They ought to have better sense than that." Well, they may have better sense, but they do not have the wisdom to do what the knowledge will tell them to do. There are many folks who have that. I mean, they know, "I should not charge this on my credit card because I know when the bill comes, I won't be able to pay it on time. I'm going to have a late fee, and before long, this thing's going to balloon out of proportion." Well, they know that. There's knowledge, but they do not have the wisdom to exercise that knowledge. So Paul says to the church at Colossae, "I pray that not only do you have knowledge, but that you will have a wisdom and understanding to use that knowledge." Then he goes to verse number 12. And in verse number 12, he said, "I thank God." Now, in verses 12, 13, and 14, there is a little bitty four-letter word. And that little bitty four-letter word is one that, you know, you read it, you think of it, and it's there, and it goes on, and it's kind of a identifying word, and that is the little word "hath," H-A-T-H. Notice what Paul said in verse number 12. He said, "We thank God that He hath made you meet to be a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in light." Now watch what he said. He said, "Now God be thanked that He hath made you meet." Now don't worry about that word M-E-E-T. I'm going to explain it to you. As a fellow said, I'll explain it to you in a minute. "That He hath made you meet to be a partaker of the inheritance in the saints in light," of the saints in light. Then in verse number 13, he said that He hath, here again, see the second word, the word "hath" again? "He hath delivered us from the power of darkness." Now the third time he uses that word, "and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our sins." Now I want to focus 3 points using this or looking at this word "hath" and what he is saying here. When you and I look at verse number 12, notice what that he hath made us meet to be partakers. Now, that little word "meet" means qualified. That He hath made us qualified to be a partaker. To be a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in light. Now, ladies and gentlemen, when you think about this little word "qualified," now, there's 3 words that I'm going to use along with each one of these points. Now, I don't want to get... You got this here and that there. It's going to be simple. Well, point number one, He hath made us qualified. He hath made us qualified. And the word that I want you to attach with that, He hath made us qualified, is the word grace. Now then, you see, a person can be made qualified and yet not do what he ought to do. I will again go on with that and you follow with me. He hath made us qualified. How are you and I qualified? By the grace of God. Look at what the Bible says. In Titus chapter number 2, the Bible says, verse number 11, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us and purify unto Himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. Ladies and gentlemen, you and I must always recognize that we are saved by the grace of God. It is the grace of God that has made us qualified. It is the grace of God, the love, John 3:16. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In the book of Ephesians chapter number 2, verses number 8 and 9, the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Verse 10 says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. But now watch this. Ladies and gentlemen, you and I will never be able to be good enough in order to satisfy the sin that has been committed in the world. The Bible says, wherefore by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin. Therefore death is passed upon all men, for all have sinned. And so when you and I... Now watch this. Paul said, we thank God. Why? Because He hath made you qualified. I will never forget the last semester when I was finalizing everything to graduate from the university, Tennessee Tech University. I'd go to the registrar's office, every week. And I'd say, am I qualified? Have I got it? I wanted to make sure I was qualified. So, ladies and gentlemen, when you look at this word qualified, you see, there is that tendency, when you look at the grace of God, there is that tendency to say, by the grace of God, I am saved by the grace of God. I am qualified. God made it possible. God made it possible. He made us meet to be partakers. He made us qualified to be partakers. Now, I want you to look at the second half. Because in verse number 13, the Bible says that He hath delivered us from the power of darkness. So what does that mean? When you and I look at the world, ladies and gentlemen, the world is in darkness. In the book of John, chapter number 3, the Bible said that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. In the book of John, chapter number 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with Him. All things were made by Him, and was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. Now watch this. And the life was the light of men. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, the next verse says. Now watch this. The first point that we made is that He hath qualified us. The second point is He hath delivered us. That first point was grace. The second point is the blood of Jesus. See, how did He deliver us? By the blood of the Lamb. In John 1 verse 29, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. You go to the book of Exodus chapter number 12. And in Exodus chapter number 12, God said, Moses, I want you to take a lamb. I want you to put him up for so many days. And then I want you to kill that lamb, take that blood, slit its throat, put it in a basin, take that blood, and put it over the doorpost. That blood, that lamb was, ladies and gentlemen, a spotless lamb. He said, you take a lamb without spot or blemish. It was a spotless lamb. It was a sacrificial lamb because, ladies and gentlemen, it gave its life in order that the firstborn of the children of Israel not be slain. You take that blood and put it on the doorpost. It took that blood in order to do it. Not only was it a spotless lamb, not only was it a sacrificial lamb, it was a saving lamb because they were saved as a result of the blood of that lamb. It was a shared lamb. Because if they couldn't eat all of the meat, Moses said, you can get two or three families together and you eat the meat. So then we find in John says, here's the Lamb of God, Jesus, the spotless lamb, the sacrificial lamb, the saving lamb, and the shared lamb. He hath delivered us. How did He do it? With His blood. The blood of Jesus has taken man out of a world of darkness and a world of sin. I do not have to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, if you do any kind of concept of the news, of the kind of world that we're living in. You see, ladies and gentlemen, we live in a world of darkness. You and I are living out, we're seeing things go on in our world today where men have no respect for human life. I can understand it. But I'm going to tell you why. You cannot bombard them 180 days a year with a concept there is no God, with a concept that man has evolved from a lower form of animal, and that child come out of that after 12 years of 180 days a year, and then come out at the end of those 12 years with any respect for humanity. You can't do it. And then you think 30 minutes in Bible school once a month is going to offset it. We live in a world of darkness. And the Bible says that He hath delivered us from its power. How did He do it? By His blood. Ladies and gentlemen, He hath delivered us from the power of darkness by the blood of Jesus died. Now, if I stopped right there, that'd be kind of sad, wouldn't it? But there's a third half. Number one, He hath made us qualified to be a partaker. That's His grace. Number two, He hath delivered us from the power of darkness. That's His blood. And number three, He hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption. Through His blood. That word translated. It's an interesting word. Hebrews chapter number 11. You remember this? Verse number 5. The Bible says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death. And he was not found. For God translated him, but before his translation he had the testimony that he pleased God. Now look at that again. By faith, the Bible says, Enoch was translated. Now, you and I think of translation. For an example, we get into the concept of translating the Bible from the Greek language or the Hebrew language. We say, well, okay, we've got this translation and that translation and that translation. That's not what we're looking at here. The word translated here is the word conveyed. He hath conveyed us from the power of darkness. Where? Into. What has He done? He's moved us. He's moved us. I'm reminded of my cousin. He's sharp. He's probably not book sense wise, but he's smart enough to become a millionaire and give lots of money to a university. I got a copy of they sent me a little book from this university last week. Lo and behold, on the back page was a picture of my cousin. And every time I see him, I think about his mother, my Aunt Elvira. And that is, when he was growing up as a kid, he was kind of a rambunctious child. She said, I can't make you read that book, but I can make you sit and look at it. see, ladies and gentlemen, you cannot be made to take advantage of the blood of Jesus Christ. But that doesn't remove it. See, He hath qualified us by His grace. See, He hath delivered us by His blood. And He has translated or conveyed us. Now, let me give you the word for that one. And that's the word gospel. Or you can put with obedience. What is the conveyance? Here's a world of darkness. The Bible said He hath delivered us from that world of darkness. How did He do it? With His blood. Now He's conveyed us. He has taken that blood and that blood has conveyed us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Now I want you to think about this. Over here is the power of darkness. Right here is the conveyance vehicle where the blood is. See, ladies and gentlemen, if you came up here and looked down in there, you know what you'd find? You would find a baptistry full of blood. But it is. See, because it's His blood that washes us from our sins. There are folks who say, "Well, now, Brother Acuff, I don't need to be baptized. I believe in the Lord. I don't need to be baptized." Where's the blood? Show me the blood. Show me the blood. Thomas said, "Lord, is that You?" He said, "Here, Phil, put your hand in my side. Where's the blood?" He's going to convey you out of this dark world through His blood into His kingdom of light over here. Isn't that exciting? That you don't have to live in that dark world. Oh, the world's still out there. And as a matter of fact, what He wants us to do now, He wants us to come around and go back over there and try to tell them how to get through this. Three hath. He hath qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and He hath translated us into His kingdom. Now, my friend, if you have not been conveyed, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, if you read that, Paul said, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel." What is the gospel? The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. That's the gospel. "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which you have received, wherein you stand, by which also you are saved. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures." That's grace. That's the blood. "How that He was buried, and how that He arose again the third day." Death, burial, and resurrection. Let me give you another illustration of it in Romans 6. Question is that. Paul said, "Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that the old man over here, he takes a bath in the blood of Jesus, and he's a new man over here. Are you a new man? If you aren't, you can be. You need to obey the gospel of Christ, the blood of Jesus. He hath qualified you. Everybody here has been qualified. You've been qualified. Talking to a grandson the other day. Going to graduate in a few weeks. End of the school year. "Sammy, where are you going to school?" "Well, I'm..." He said, "I've already been accepted gave me the name of the university. He had to get accepted. He was qualified by the administration. They looked at his school records and they looked at whatever it is he sent in. They said, you're qualified. Now, he may not go there. See, you've been qualified by the grace of God. You may not do it. The blood has been shed. And until you and I obey all that qualification, all that blood is for naught.